Thanks for joining us for this weekly joint meeting of the Mayor and Denver City Council. Follow along as the Mayor and City Council members hear updates from city agencies and projects, discuss important city matters, and hear about what's happening across the Mile High City. Join the discussion with your elected officials starting now.
now live on the air. We will start with introductions. Thank you, distinguished gentleman on the right.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. Paul Cashman, South Denver District 6.
Savannah Gonzalez-Piquetes, one of your council members at large.
Amanda Sawyer, District 5.
Hi, good morning. Diana Romero-Campbell, Southeast Denver District 4.
Hi, good morning. Darrell Watson, 5, District 9.
Hey, Denver. Denver's perfect 10. Chris Hines.
Good morning. Amanda Sandoval, Northwest Denver District 1. Sorry, we're tardy.
Apologize for starting late. Delighted to be here. Are there any announcements that members have for each other or for the listening public? Yes, Councilman Sawyer.
Thanks. Just a reminder for District 5 residents that our annual survey is open, so please take it. We have about 1,000 responses so far. It'll be open for another 6 weeks till the end of the year. So if you are a resident of District 5, please take our annual survey. You can find it on our social media and or in our newsletter or on our website. And we really do use your responses to shape our work plan for the next year. So get out there and take our survey. Thanks.
Councilwoman Gonzalez-Gutierrez.
Thank you. So myself, Councilwoman Parity, Councilman Cashman, and Councilwoman Lewis are co-hosting we're calling it a community hangout. It's, you know, things have been very difficult, I think, for employees that work for the government on various levels, whether it's at the local, city, at the federal level, most definitely. And we are just inviting folks to come and have a meal and to share some space with other folks that may be just feeling just a lot of weight right now. And so this is just an opportunity. We'll be doing it at the Firefighters Union Hall, 775 Mariposa, 3:30 to 6:30 on Friday, November 21st. All council members, you're all invited. So please come through so we can hang out with our fellow government employees and you know, just help them in this really tough time. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Councilman Watson. Council President Pro Tem.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
There's two things. One, we have our senior luncheon, which is on Friday, December 5th. I had to think about it. Contact our office if you live in Southeast Denver. This is our annual luncheon that we have at the Wilshire Event Center. Super excited to do that. It starts at 11:30 at Wilshire on December 5th. Contact our office. And then second, we have so many fun things going on. We have a number of our RNOs, our neighborhood registered neighborhood organizations that are holding turkey trots. So little neighborhood community events that just bring people together. So for those that are in Southmore, University Hills, and Hampton Heights, they are all holding turkey trots on Thanksgiving. And if you're a member of one of those communities, you probably already know about it, but welcome to come and join. And if not, we've got 2 weeks. The reason why I bring up the turkey trot is because my dad was a runner. He always did the turkey trot. He always, it was just kind of a family tradition that we'd go out to the Mile High United Way turkey trot at Wash Park and spend the morning just out and trotting before we would go and have our turkey dinner. So it's a good way to be able to give back to community. It's a good way to be able to raise funds. If you are unable to go to one of the smaller ones, the Mile High United Way at Wash Park, those funds go to partner organizations throughout the community. And so just wanted to encourage people to get out and trot, work on those yams. They have their yams. Anyway,
thank you so much.
It's all good stuff and good fun, but just a family tradition that we've done and wanted to share with everyone else.
Councilman Watson.
Hey, I'm going to have to join you at Wash Park.
Yeah, Wash Park.
All right, so yeah, don't tempt me with a trot.
9 o'clock.
Okay. I have to come. On Friday, November 21st, from 1:30 to 2:45 p.m., we have our November community office hours. I may have to do some trotting after this one. It's going to be at Welton Street Cafe. So coming out for some smothered pork chop and some good discussions in the fine District 9, and that is at 2883 Welton Street. So Friday, November 21st, 1:30 to 2:45, our monthly District 9 November community office hours. Bring your thoughts, your ideas, and an empty stomach. So looking forward to seeing folks.
Thank you so much. President.
Just want to say happy birthday, Mayor.
Thank you.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Oh,
and happy birthday to Councilwoman Gonzalez-Gutierrez on the 22nd. Yeah.
Scorpios unite.
I'm a little bit of both, so.
You were both days?
Yeah. Are you on the cusp?
You're on the cusp.
Clearly a Scorpio.
Both of us. Any other announcements?
Yes, sir.
Councilman.
With all the deserved good noise going on about the Broncos ads and Nuggets off to such a flying start, I wanted to remind people the University of Denver Pioneers hockey team is on a run. They started off a little slowly this year. They're up to number 4 in the country on the latest polls and are moving on up. So go Pios.
Love it, guys.
As of yesterday, we were the only city that had not a single home loss in any of three sports, the Avs, Nuggets, and the Broncos. Unfortunately, the Nuggets lost last night, but you know, one loss out of 30 games across three sports, I think we'll take it. It is the great golden era of Denver sports. Anyone else before we jump into our sessions this morning? Thank you all. We're delighted to have our legal team here to update us a little bit on the government shutdown. Councilman Gonzalez-Gutierrez was talking about some of the impact on federal employees and on services, and so we wanted to be able to get an overview of what the current impact and future impact could be of our federal government shutdown. So have our team from Brownstein here. I'm not sure if they're on Zoom. I think they're from D.C. And so I will turn it over to the technology powers to bring them in. Can you see us? And hear us?
Yep.
Great. Yes. Go ahead, Bart. Thank you. I appreciate you both being here. I think I'll give over the floor to you to jump in on overview of context that we should know, and I'm sure we'll have questions from council members as we get through it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. It's an honor to be with you guys today and update you on the government shutdown and how we see things playing out over the next few months here in D.C. I'm joined by my colleague, Nadeem Alshami. I think my name is on his screen as well this morning, but he'll introduce himself. I've come to Brownstein from Capitol Hill. I spent over 15 years on the Hill. Most recently, I was the deputy chief of staff to the House Majority Leader, Steve Scalise from Louisiana. I'll go on and jump right in, and I'll try to not use too much Capitol Hill vernacular. Obviously, the government shutdown ended last week. It was the longest government shutdown in history, and obviously had profound impacts across the country on constituents and other governments that need funding from the federal government. So the current—
I lost your audio, Bart. Just a sec.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh. There we go. All right, we back?
Let us work on audio. We do not hear you right now.
Okay.
Now we got you back.
All right. Where did you last
hear? We lost you when you said longest shutdown in American history.
Yes, so it was the longest shutdown in U.S. history. It ended last week with the House and Senate agreeing on a package of bills that was three appropriations bills, the agriculture bill, the Milcon VA bill, and the Ledge Branch bill, and a CR for the rest of government funding through the end of January 31st. That is a two-month runway for them to negotiate another package of bills, some items that are on tap and under consideration and most likely to be considered in another round of a package of bills would be the defense bill, the labor HHS bill, the T-HUD bill, and then possibly the interior bill, the CJS bill, and the energy and water bill. There are a few of the appropriations bills that most likely will lay waste on the cutting room floor and not see agreement between the House and Senate, namely Homeland, the FSGG bill, which funds a lot of broad pieces of the federal government, and the state foreign ops bill. So those three bills are most likely to be CR'd for the remainder of the year in January when the House and Senate agree on the next funding package. Also on tap for the Congress as they look to close out this year is the National Defense Authorization Act. That That legislation has passed every year over the last 50 years. So I anticipate the House and Senate to come to an agreement on the NDAA for this year. So that's just a quick overview on the main drivers on Capitol Hill through the end of this year and into early next year as we talk about government funding. But I'll turn it over to my colleague Nadim to introduce himself.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, council members. It's great to be with you. And I just want to pick up where Bart ended, but a couple quick things about me. I've been with the firm for about 8 years. I am one of the co-managing directors here in the Washington, D.C. office. Prior to that, I spent 26 years on Capitol Hill, and I left as chief of staff to Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Looking ahead post the end of the government shutdown, I see two important deadlines for Denver, but also for the country. The first is December 31st. I think many of you have heard quite a bit about the healthcare subsidies or the Obamacare subsidies or the ACA subsidies. At the moment, you know, there is a standstill on Capitol Hill. There will be some vote, maybe some potentially two votes coming up, but there is major disagreement between the parties, Republicans and Democrats. Democrats want to simply extend with potentially some changes. Many Republicans have no interest. So trying to break the logjam and figuring out a way to proceed forward before December 31st is going to be critical, actually, for both parties. Affordability issues across the country has been a major topic on everything from healthcare to groceries and so on. And both parties realize that. And while we are in full political season here in Washington, D.C., I think both leaders and the White House are looking for solutions to these critical issues. The second deadline is going to be January 30th. As Bart has described, they are currently working on some appropriation packages for some of the remaining appropriations bills. And why those are important for Denver is because they contain potentially some specific projects that are important to Denver. So we are monitoring those bills very closely with the hope that the House and the Senate will come to an agreement, both Republicans and Democrats, and get that through. But when you get to January 30th, you know, you'll have potentially bills like Homeland Security that needs to get to be funded. In all likelihood, it will be funded under a continuing resolution, which is essentially the same funding levels as the current current fiscal year. But we'll see how that plays out. I see that as the next. If there's no agreement on the healthcare subsidies, I see that as the next point for Democrats to not support any continuing resolution in order to continue the debate on the healthcare subsidies. But as of now, the shutdown is over. Appropriations committees are talking, and they are attempting to find a way forward on the healthcare subsidies.
Thank you so much. I think I will open it up to questions, unless there's anything else that you all want to cover, gentlemen, as initial info before we jump into questions.
Questions?
I think we're ready for questions. Are there questions from any of the members? Councilman Watson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Bart. And is it Nadim?
Nadim.
Thank you so much, and thank you both for kind of your service as chief of staff for congressional offices. My question goes beyond the CR in January. It goes specific to the long-term benefits from HR 1. And if you can speak to that as it pertains to SNAP benefits, I know that we have a stopgap in SNAP because of the government shutdown, and those had some direct impacts in Denver. Really, we came together, we have a we're working collaboratively to make sure that all of our pantries, et cetera, are filled with the $10 million that came from the state to make sure that Denver is taken care of. But there have been long-term projected changes to SNAP, moving some of the responsibilities to the state, reducing folks who are immigrants from receiving any SNAP benefits. I'm curious, from your perspective, what are things that we within the City and County of Denver should be looking at? What are the impacts that you're seeing, and what legislation, if any, are you seeing, whether it's state or federal, that's going to provide relief longer term once HR 1 is fully implemented?
Council member, there's a couple of things, and you raise them, and I think they make are important. But first, let me start with the continuing resolution that just passed. I mean, it funds, SNAP funding for a year under current, under current levels and under current conditions of HR 1. The impact on localities and on states is both the work requirements that come into effect. States do take some of the cost as well, and eligibility also. We have provided some deep research on that, and we'd be more than happy to share that with you and the council members as well.
Thank you, Nadine.
Other questions?
One question.
Madam President.
Thank you both for this information. What were to happen on December 31st if there was a standstill? Could the government be put down into a shutdown again in January?
No, ma'am. The current funding is through the end of January. And so come December 31st, they still have a 1 month runway to come to an agreement on a broader package of spending bills.
Okay. And then between now and the end of January, are those bills, we'll just have to watch if those bills make it to the floor to get approved by the Senate and Congress. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, ma'am. So I think what you'll see is Leader Thune over in the Senate has filed cloture on a number of those bills that I laid out as most likely next vehicles for conferencing between the House and Senate. You will also see the House move forward on a few more of those bills. At some point, though, they will probably not pass bills out of the House and Senate anymore, and they'll go to what's called a conference committee. So there's a recent precedent that both sides have employed where the most recent action on a bill at where it is negotiated is what they then take to the negotiation with the other chamber. So what that means is, let's say the House Appropriations Committee got their T-HUD bill out of committee, but it didn't pass the floor. But then the Senate passed their T-HUD bill. The passed product from the House committee level would then be conferenced with the Senate floor passed product. So you're not necessarily having to have that one-for-one parity where both bills follow the same path before they can get negotiated.
I have a question, Bart, about the, so for the healthcare subsidy questions, for the Obamacare subsidies, when would those lapse? Would those start lapsing January 1? And are you assuming that would be the major issue in the negotiations going to January 30? And how optimistic are you that there's a path to get to some deal that would keep those in place?
Yes, they do lapse December 31st. I mean, the issue has been all along is you want them to be available prior to December 31st because that helps set the prices for the insurance rates going into January 1. The impact is actually being felt already in some states where there is a open enrollment taking place for the Affordable Care Act at the moment. And the enrollment numbers are not as high because there are some individuals who can't afford to pay the insurance because it's too expensive without the subsidies. However, again, both sides understand that this is a major issues. Both sides have differing ideas. The question is, can the middle find a way forward that both satisfies some of the conservative ideas, but also the current Democratic proposals of the subsidies? The reason I said December 31st is because while there's no natural deadline there, it is the end of the year. And, by the time January 1st start, individuals are either going to have healthcare that is more expensive, or they just did not sign up for healthcare because it was too expensive.
And if it's passed at the January 30 deadline, could people late open enroll if they didn't open enroll, and or would those subsidies immediately reduce their costs effective February? What would the impact be on a resident in Denver?
It is unclear at the moment, Mr. Mayor, if it's passed in the January 30th deadline where the government or some of the government shuts down because there's no funding. Yes, there will be an impact. Can individuals get some money back? Can they, can the open enrollment be extended? There's a lot of things that could potentially happen, but it's pretty difficult.
Councilman Hines.
It can't be done.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a request. Brownstein members, would you share your contact information with council in case we find ourselves in D.C. and want to say hi? That's it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Adam on the mayor's team has our contact info, and we're happy to have him share it with all of you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Okay, well, thank you both so much for your work. Thanks for your time and helping us wade through this. Thank you for advocating for Denver residents. We want to make sure you get access to those services. And so appreciate it. We will reach back out if you have additional questions.
Thank you.
And with no other business this morning, we are actually adjourned early with some time to get back. Thank you all. Happy Tuesday.